Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and good morning. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation GENELATION. Generation means you have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. I established the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord, and I treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so we will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blah, talk already, yo. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. Mm-hmm. It is the only weapon that you and I have that will give us the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, and the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. And somebody said, that's the word of God. I need your prayers this morning. We're on the road, but I want to turn your attention just for a few moments to the book of Daniel, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the first verse, Daniel 5:1. If you're with me, say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, and they praised the gods of gold, the gods of silver, the gods of brass, the gods of iron, the gods of wood, and the gods of stone. And in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote all over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints and the joints of his loins were loose, and his knees began to knock and smoke one against another. That's enough. Let the redeemer of the Lord say amen. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text early this morning, I want to call this text, The Handwriting is on the Wall. I know it's early in the morning. Look at somebody, if you will, please, and tell them for me, the handwriting is on the wall. Do I have a praying church? I want to bring to your attention that our God, he uses signs and wonders and miracles to get our attention from time to time. Mm-hmm. Our God uses signs and wonders and miracles to convey a particular message to his people. Number one, somebody say one, about who he is, that is who he is in his nature, who he is in his power, and then, of course, to be an encouragement to who it is that is observing. Oh, that was a tongue twister. I'll say it again. God uses wonders and miracles and signs, for the handwriting is on the wall. And what that really means, excuse me, what that really means is that God uses He uses signs and wonders and miracles to convey time into space. Mm-hmm. Listen to me very carefully this morning, because he does something so wonderful that it cannot be duplicated by human hands. Or somebody say amen right there. In other words, you can't take the credit because nobody did it but God. Uh-huh. And so we find out that God will intervene into your reality and break into it. And from that, God does something that we cannot do. And then I'm going to share with you early this morning, again, for repetition is a good teaching tool, that signs and wonders and miracles is God's way of having impact upon the person that observes what he does. He's trying to show who he is and what he can do in your life. Uh-huh. I think that these assignments and explanations thus far are very applicable for these times that we live in even on today. And the reason why is because if you read Matthew 24, you will find words of encouragement about the end times. Mm-hmm. And there you'll find these words. I know what I'm talking about. I've got some Bible to back it up. But he that endured to the end, good God Almighty, the same shall be saved. Uh-huh. Jesus said these will be the signs, these will be the words and the wonders, and this will be taking place, and these are the things that will transpire. And even in our daily Christian life, we see God working miracles and signs and wonders to prove to his children that he is all that he said he would be, and that he can do anything but fail. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Uh-huh. And I thought it not robbery early this morning to use these verses of scripture found in the book of Daniel. For in them we will find a sign, a wonder, and even yet a miracle. Do I have a praying church? For certainly the handwriting is on the wall. But in my studying, I found myself in a place called Babylon. Somebody said Babylon. And not only Babylon, a literal place, but it's also a symbolic place. Uh-huh. I need you to get a clear understanding of Babylon and what I'm talking about this morning, because I will suggest unto you, whether you know it or not, we are living in times of a symbolic Babylon right now. Uh-huh. I want to point out to you in the Old Testament that Babylon represents a place of the people of God exiled. Mm-hmm. But in the midst of that, Babylon represented a whole lot of other things that at least for the moment we need to have a discussion about. Mm-hmm. Let me talk to you so that you will know just what it is that you're up against in the world that we are living in. And so whenever we talk about Babylon, I need you to first of all know that Babylon represents a place that is centered around money and material possessions. Somebody say money. I hear you say it like you ain't broke. Somebody say money. Uh-huh. And you all know money gets funny in the church sometime. Am I right about it? And money motivates most of the decisions that we make in life, and not only in our culture, but in our daily living. Mm-hmm. Or when you really look at it and put your mind to it, you will find out and figure out that most of every decision that we make in our country has a whole lot to do with money. Somebody say money. Oh, I'm going to preach in a minute. Mm-hmm. Well, you all will agree with me. The reason we can't get a health plan in our country is because we live in a society and a culture that is centered around cash. Uh-huh. The real problem is how much money is going to be lost in the industry that is now ready to make more money off of you and I being sick than giving you a health care so you can get well. I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Thank God for a doctor named Jesus that has never lost the key. Somebody say, preach, doc. Mm-hmm. You need to know that everything that we invest in and get involved in is centered around cash. Uh-huh. Our whole lives and styles and are centered around money. Even if you look at the interest rate and the rise of its fall, we see it as controlling to the fact of whether you can buy a house or make a living is all centered around money. Somebody say money. If you really think about it, We have not come up with nothing that will even heal that old nasty disease called polio. And it's been around a long, long time. It's not that God has not given us the intelligence to do so. The fact of the matter is, it's not financially advantageous for those in authority to release the cash for something that might make you well. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. You all know the reason why, don't you? I know you know. For the moment I come up with something that will make you better, that's the moment you stop buying medication. Somebody better holler. And the pharmaceutical industry stops making money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to move this train in a minute. So let me help you again early this morning in this area one more time. When the people of the Most High God begin to go to the doctor and speak the word of God over their sickness, and the industry gets nervous because all they see is dollar signs. And they begin to think to themselves, if Jesus keeps doing what he does best, the doctor that's never lost a case, we all going to be broke. Somebody say hallelujah. That's why the devil has put in the mind of this same-sex marriage mess. For Tina Turner made it clear. Tina made it very clear. She said, what's love got to do with it? Well, you know and I know it's all about who going to get that money when you die. Y'all better pray for me this morning. I'm going to put a quarter in the meter right there. Now, understand that the word of God is very clear about money. Somebody say money. For the word of God says, it is the love of money that becomes the root of all evil. Because when you know you can make money, particularly off of other folks, and you know that you can make money in order to get gain and notoriety and get where you want or get to where you think you should be, when you know that money will get you power, it is then that you will do anything for money. Y'all better pray. Some of y'all have been giving up on your families and on your children. For you work two or three jobs in order to get more money and more clothes and more cars, trying to keep up with the Joneses, and you end up with less every time. Well, I'll prove it to you. Well, if you work that many jobs, no wonder all of your children are having such a hard time because you're never home to correct anything. Somebody say, ouch. If you work two or three jobs and find out now that your children talk back to you and don't show any respect at all to you, I stop by to tell you the reason why Johnny doesn't pay you any attention is because you're never home to correct the problem when Johnny first starts feeling his oats. Somebody say glory. If the motivation is money, after two or three jobs, no wonder your wife found a new lover, because you was never home to do anything for the sister. I just need a witness in here. You can call me and email me. I'm right here. Somebody say amen. I stopped by early this morning to tell you, don't let your motivation be money. Because I found out you don't have to have a lot of money to be happy. Hallelujah. But you do have to check your motivation and what becomes important to you. And when you begin to ask these questions, you will find out we're living in a modern-day Babylon. Somebody say Babylon. That's the reason. That's the reason why Babylon couldn't stand the people of God, is because God kept telling them there's more things in life more important than the things that are materialistic. I need you to understand that is not the material things in life that makes you successful. It's not money. It's not the money that puts you on top of the world. But I do submit unto you today, what makes the difference in this world is the peace that God puts in your spirit that gives you opportunity to sit on top of the world. I felt that one myself. I received it, God. I know I'm right about it because, I found out that there's a lot of people who have money and they're not happy. I found out there's a lot of people that have everything that you could ever want in life and they're still not satisfied. And so, if you can really feel what I'm saying this morning, I need you to refocus and understand without a doubt, if you would seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, the Bible says, and then all of these things shall be added unto thee. Didn't he say so? Stop by early this morning to tell you God has already promised you that he would provide for you. That's how the people of the world fall apart, because you're so connected to your material stuff that when the devil messes with your stuff, you fall all apart, about to have a nervous breakdown because somebody hit your Mercedes. Come on, somebody talk back to me. You need to take a special pill because somebody stole some of your stuff. Listen, glory to God. Even the devil has enough sense that when he goes to God for permission after your soul, he knows to attack the stuff first. I hear him saying, God, give me permission to touch the car, and I bet you they'll stop going to church. Let me just touch that new deck on the back of the new house. I bet you they won't show up for rehearsal to sing on nobody's choir because we're so connected to our stuff. Somebody say stuff. That's why. I made up my mind, you can take my stuff. I've been there and done it and got a T-shirt for it. But it's material, for I serve a God that can give me more stuff. But don't take what I have down on the inside. Give somebody a high five, you will, and tell them, I'd rather have Jesus. Or that was the wrong person. Or look in the mirror at yourself and tell yourself, I'd rather have Jesus. Let's look at the text this morning, Babylon. Babylon represents materialism, and it represents nothing but money and cash. I need you to understand not only money and cash, but also idolatry. Somebody say idolatry. And the plain definition of that word, idolatry, is if there's anything more important in your life other than Jesus, it is idolatry. But what we have done, we have put God's name on everything, and the world is now confused. Oh, yes, they are. But I hear them saying the church is no different than Buddha. The church is no different than the Muslims. The church is no different. But I see them doing the same thing that we're doing. Somebody say mercy. Stop by early this morning to tell you, I beg the difference. There is a difference. Yes, it is. You can say what you want to say, but Jesus died for my sins. And he wasn't just a prophet, but he was the Son of the living God. And not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and declared that I've got all power in my hand. And there is a difference. Somebody said, there is a difference. You will never mess me up. Bringing some bells and putting some earrings in my nose and lighting some candles, baby, it's bigger than that. I don't need any bells and I don't need no candles for it. It's something about the Spirit of the living God that does something on the inside that produces and produces a change on the outside. And I don't know about you, but I've been changed. I believe, let's say that one more time. There's something about the Spirit of the living God that does something on the inside that produces a change on the outside. And I don't know about you, but I've been changed. Somebody say glory. I want to serve notice. Early this morning to you, when you mix material gain and idolatry together, it takes you so off focus that you don't know whether you're coming or going. Well, I'm going to close this in a minute. Whether you like it or not, never change your standard, because God never changes his. The good news is when you and I don't meet the requirements of God's standard, he will give you mercy and grace and give you another chance. But he doesn't lower his standard to please you. In Babylon, what they did was expect and entertain. And they accept so much stupid stuff, so much that they didn't even have anything to do with God and was embracing everything contrary to the word of God. Just like we have done today, I need to remind you early this morning that God didn't come in the person of Jesus in order that he might simply become like you, but he came like you are that you might become who he is. Oh, somebody missed that early this morning. Let me say it again. Hallelujah. I need to say that one more time. God did not come in the person of Jesus in order that he might become like you, but he came like you are that you might become who he is. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. I don't know about you early this morning, but I'm not trying to stay like, forever in my life, for one of these old days, I shall be changed. In a moment, I'm in the twinkling of an eye. I want to be like him, and I want to see him, and I want to thank him for everything that he has done for me. Somebody pray for me. And so far we've learned that Babylon was all about finance and money. Somebody said money. And then we found out that Babylon was all full of idolatry. Somebody said idolatry. Well, it's getting late, and I got to move this train this morning. And so the Holy Ghost takes us to chapter number 5 in the book of Daniel. And when you look in the book of Daniel, one of these things you will find out is that now we're in the time of Belshazzar, and I need to remind all of my Bible scholars that are listening to me this morning that when the people of God went into bondage, they went in under Nebuchadnezzar. And during that time, you will remember the first thing that they did, that they took some young kids into captivity, and he came after the young people. I know I'm right about it, because you were reading the book, you'll find out that there was a few fellows. One of them was named Daniel, one was named Meshach, and another name was Shadrach, and another one was Abednego. If I can get a witness in the ear, somebody say hallelujah. And the king had made up in his mind that he was going to twist their minds. But they made up in their minds, you can say what you want to say, and you can do what you want to do. Hallelujah. But we're going to live for God, and for God we'll live, and for God we'll die. And so after the king took the young folks, and then we get the news of the fall of Samaria, and then we get the news of the fall of Jerusalem, and then we get the news of the people of God was in captivity. And if you read just a little bit further, I read that they cried. Oh, I feel like preaching. They cried. It's in the book. It's in Psalm 137. They said, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat. And we wept as we hung our hearts upon the willow trees, and our captors are required to song. We said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange place? In other words, this world is not my home. And the word of God says that the same king that tried to get the people of God to bow to other gods, his head got so big, and he began to say, and look, what have I done? You know, folks will show off like that after they think they've been saved a long time and they know everything and you can't tell them nothing. Look what I've done. They want to take all the glory. In other words, he was feeling really good about dogging the children of the Most High God. I ought to put a quarter in the meter right there and tell you, you ought to keep your mouth off of the people of God. You ought to keep your mouth off of the woman and the man of God. Somebody say glory. For you do know we have some people who gets great joy out of hurting you and I. You do know we have some people that like to see you and I suffer. You do know we have some people that like to see you broke. You do know we have some people that don't want to see you happy, because misery loves company. I know I preach right there. I believe their ministry is given by the prince of darkness. Somebody talk back to me. I stopped by early this morning to tell you, when you get to that point in your life boasting about what you have done and can't nobody do it like you, that's a sign. For I see the handwriting on the wall, and God is trying to show you something about yourself and your destiny. Look at somebody and say, it's me. You ought to stop blaming folks. You ought to point your finger at yourself and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. I got to go, for the Bible says, the king got so out of hand trying to take the glory away from God that God made him eat grass like a natural cow, and he lost his mind. It was in the book. Look, don't fear man, the man that can take your life, but you better fear the man that can take your life and your soul. I hear God saying, I see the handwriting on the wall, and I won't give my glory to another. And the word of God says this same king had a son whose name was Belshazzar. I stopped by to tell you early this morning, parents, listen to me very carefully. I guess daddy was so busy with the material game, trying to be a pastor, trying to be a bishop, trying to be an apostle, trying to carry all these titles that you're not qualified to do. And I guess he was so busy making money, trying to impress folks, being so important, that he didn't have time to train his son. Because the Bible says the son start feeling himself just like his daddy after he became king. And he went into the temple one day and got all the temple ornaments and began to disregard the things of God and the power of God. I stopped by to tell you maybe daddy didn't have time. He was so busy trying to be seen and being in the wrong place at the wrong time, messing with God's people, that he forgot to tell his son, whatever you do in life, son, don't play with God. Y'all don't hear me. If you need to play for something, you better go to Toys R Us, but you better stop playing with God. I want you to know you ought not to touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm, saith the Lord. He didn't have time to tell him, if you're bored, you better get you some toys, but don't play with God. He didn't have time to tell him, don't put your mouth on the people of God and the man of God and the woman of God. He didn't have time to tell and teach him that the people that are down at that church, they belong to God and they're covered under the blood. They may not do things like you want them to do them. They may not do them when you want them to do it. Well, look at here. He may not come when you want him, and he may not come when you think he ought to be there, but God is always on time. And the word of God said at that moment that they began to disregard the things of God. And then God showed up. Won't he do it? He'll do it every time. The word says God took a hand and it began to write on the wall. Now keep in mind that the hand didn't have no body at all. It was just a hand. And what that tells me is that God can take anything that's disconnected, dislocated, broke to pieces, and still use it. Yes, he can. Or y'all don't hear me. I tell you again, God can take anything that's disconnected, dislocated, broke to pieces, and still use it. Yes, he can. Because I'm broken into pieces. I've been dislocated, and I feel just like the Apostle Paul. I've been shipwrecked. Talked about, lied on, and misunderstood, but God is still using me. I'm using me right now. I got to go. I stopped by to tell you early this morning, if you're broken, God can use you. If you're all ripped up and tripped up, God can use you. Somebody say hallelujah. And the word of the Lord says, God used the hand with nobody at all connected. And when he wrote on the wall, he wrote these words. And what that means is that your days have been numbered. Oh, I'm going to my seat. But I thank God for Daniel this morning. I thank God for him interpreting the dream. And that's why we can't hook up with a whole lot of folks that have that Babylon spirit, because God has chose you for such a time as this. He told me to tell you be careful who you talk to and who you talk about. He told me to be careful where you go and where you place your soul. He told me to tell you it's praying time and that the handwriting is on the wall. I wish I had time to do part two, but maybe there's somebody here today that don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Then I introduce to some and present to others. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and save my soul. If you meant what you said and said what you meant, God has already did just that. He has saved you. Now you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to find a church, not only that's preaching the word of God, but also practicing the word of God. And stay there till your soul grow thereby. Don't do a whole lot of talking. Don't try to take over. Don't try to show nobody what the last church did. Just sit there and hear the word of God that your soul may grow thereby. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the those of you that are listening to me right now, I'm still going to be in the state of Georgia this afternoon at 3 p.m. We will be in Douglas, Georgia at Agape Christian Center Ministry, 500 South Peterson Avenue in Douglas, Georgia. And you pray our strength in the Lord because we've shown up having church. Until next Sunday morning, next same time, same station, 7 a.m., may the God I serve bless you real good.